All right, it's Monday night, so it's time for Industry Night, our weekly segment that delves into the world of food and hospitality. Last week, we talked breakfast. This week, we go for the bread. Artisan bread making is on full display at Hewn in Evanston, H-E-W-N. The bakery is the brainchild of Ellen King. She's the head baker and co-owner. And Ellen is not only bringing the ancient art of bread making to the Midwest, but she's helping to revitalize the grain economy here, bringing back heritage grains that haven't grown here for years. It's part food, it's part art, it's part history. Ellen King's my guest on the download tonight. Ellen, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
All right, so let's talk about this. I love the concept of bread making. What was the concept behind Hewn to bring this kind of experience to Evanston?
Well, I moved here from Seattle, and I had missed eating really rustic bread and that I'd eaten on the West Coast and in Europe. And I also had a young son, and I didn't want to work in restaurants again. And I had finally, for the first time, time on my hands a little bit, you know, fitting bread making in between naps.
Yeah, right.
And I just kind of became obsessed with making bread and realizing I did not want to work the late hours of a restaurant.
Where's the obsession come from? What was the obsession with making bread?
Well, I think, first off, I love eating bread. I love everything about it. Whenever I've traveled in the world, bread is always safe, right? It's like you go in some street food, it's like, I shouldn't eat that, and then you regret it later. Well, bread, you never regret it.
You never regret it.
And, you know, it's just always been a comfort food. And when I came here, I thought that I was in the heartland of grain. You know, this is where it all started kind of in our country. And so much of the history of how grain evolved happened here with the grain mills and grading grain and all of this. But there weren't a lot of wheat being there wasn't a lot of wheat being grown for human consumption. Hmm. So it was kind of ironic that most of the wheat was being trucked in from other areas.
That's interesting. So, I mean, from your experience in Seattle, you had this idea of what the Midwest was and the grains and wheat. And when you got here, it's just not being done that way.
Well, I mean, and I grew up here and I left and I'd grown up around farmlands, but I had no clue what I was growing up around, right? It was like corn, soybean. I don't know. I thought it was wheat. Some of it could have been wheat, but it was a totally transformative where I had to realize that it was going to be a lot harder to source local wheat. And then I had my background in history, and so I was always kind of involved in agricultural history and just was fascinated with, like, what happened? Where did the wheat go?
Where did it go? I mean, have you been able to track what happened to the grain economy here in Chicago?
Well, a lot of the grain that is grown here, I mean, we grow a lot of corn, a lot of soybeans. We do grow wheat, but it's a lot of conventionally grown wheat. So it's sprayed with a lot of different chemicals and pesticides. And organic wheat has been something that's really not been grown on a large scale here. Mm. But it's really exciting right now because the tide is changing. And one farmer who is really, I call him like the godfather of the organic movement in the Midwest, especially Illinois. His name's Harold Wilkin, and he's got over 2,000 acres of organic grain being grown, and he's getting the first stone mill up and running probably in, you know, 70 years in the state of Illinois.
Wow.
So we're going to soon have access to a ton of local organic grain.
I mean, for you as somebody who is a bread maker, I mean, how important is it for you to be able to locally source your grain and have it be organic? I mean, that's really part and parcel for the business plan of Hewn.
Yeah, I mean, flour is our biggest ingredient, right? So having that and knowing that it's coming from local farms and that it's sustainably raised, it might not be certified organic, but I know the farmers that are growing it, is so important because what people forget is that wheat actually has a flavor. You oftentimes think, oh, it's just wheat, it's all tastes the same. There's varieties that have different flavors and different characteristics. And so it's really exciting when you're working with these different varieties. Some of them I'm like, I don't like that. And then others, it's like, that's amazing. It tastes like a rye hybrid, and you can really like kind of geek out on your wheat. And then part of it's like, am I imagining this? So we have to like do a reality check with customers.
I love it. I love it. Geeked out on wheat. I think that there's something there. We might have a spinoff show we could do. But
right.
I mean, talk about this, how important it is for you if you're going to be opening a business where you're going to do artisanal breads and you're going to be making from scratch, how important it is for you to have these relationships with farmers in the area.
Well, it's vital for them in particular, because the grain industry in particular has been one that has been so far removed from consumers' consciousness that connecting who's growing your grain.
Right. I'd never think about that.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
produce is a different story. And, you know, we're even getting to the point with meat now. You're hearing more about, you know, locally with meat production. But the idea of grain, it's not something that's on the top of my
And it's such, it's one of the crops that's the most consumed, right? Wheat is something that is like humans have been consuming this for thousands of years. And in Illinois, it's, you know, coming back. So it's really important that we support these farmers, because it's a huge investment for them. And it's also in some cases like a 3-year project for them to be growing different varieties and to bring them back. And, you know, the flavors that you get from it, you really will notice a difference with it. And then for us even, you know, it's like, our customers have actually come in and they have varieties that they like better than others. And then I'm trying not to get them too hooked on one set, because it's so important for us to support the revitalizing the diversity.
If you're going to try and revitalize the grain economy here, do there need to be more humans? Meaning, you know, if farmers are going to, like you said, a 3-year process, and they're going to invest in the idea of planting and, you know, harvesting organic wheat grains, do more need to come out of the woodwork to do the kind of from scratch bread making that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are other bakeries in Chicago that are doing it really well as well. So we have some good partners that are doing this, but I think also larger scale, we need bigger places, right? Like places that are buying a ton, like, right, you know, some of the chains that will look at investing in local wheat and making that a part of
them. Will they do that? I mean, is it cost effective for them to do that?
Well, I think just the same as a lot of those places have transitioned into meats that are raised, you know, hormone-free, grain is still going to be much cheaper for them to buy. So if they can make the transition to meat that's raised sustainably,
they can do it with grains,
and especially partnering with some farmers that would be willing to do it, and then getting bakeries to convert into that.
Ellen King's my guest. She's the co-owner and head baker at Hune in Evanston. You know, it's fascinating to me, because I don't know much about it, and I'm just kind of leading with my curiosity here. But I mean, when you think of the big bread makers and people who are using wheat, I mean, is it the same as other production lines where they found a low cost, low non-organic wheat that's you know, we don't want to know how it's made, that kind of thing? I mean, is there sort of a wholesale production when it comes to bread and when it comes to the big distributions that is happening in our area?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things with baking is, you know, a lot of people say it's a science, right? Like, it's based on like very strict, you know, measurements and scale weights. And so it is a little more difficult for places that have had a formula for like their burger bun, right? To use local wheat, there's a little bit more variety and variance in the wheat. It can, you know, they do have spec sheets that are standardized, but it's a little bit more difficult when you're running like thousands of pounds and cranking out burger buns if you get a batch of a crop from one year that's a little bit different. So you have to always be kind of...
Consistency is important, right?
Yeah. So you need to have your bakers kind of adjust their formulas to the different wheat that'll be coming in each year. And in some cases, you know, that costs the businesses. But at the same point, you look at people with gluten sensitivities, right? And a lot of this, there's talk about it. I'm not a doctor, but there's talk about it being from how the wheat's grown and what's sprayed on it and what we're ingesting, as opposed to wheat that's sustainably grown.
Because it's been such an explosion of people who have gluten intolerance, not even disease, just intolerance to it. And there's a question of where that's coming from.
Exactly.
It's just, it's through the roof in terms of people.
Right. And this isn't like a crop, like, you know, like the go-go berry from Brazil that no one's eaten Like this, we've eaten wheat our entire like human history, basically, for the last 7,000 years. And so for us to be having these sensitivities to it is definitely from something that we're doing. And when you look at the amount of synthetic inputs that are in a field of conventionally grown wheat, you start thinking like, my body's actually reacting to toxins. Like, it's doing what it should be doing. And so
that's an interesting point. Okay. I was reading all about Hune today, and I had a couple of questions that I don't know much about bread making. It's really funny. The only experience I have with bread making is my friend from Seattle. Isn't that interesting? Like, you said you're from Seattle. I'm like, that was a big thing there.
Yeah.
Because I went to visit him, and he was making bread out in his kitchen and the whole thing. He was really into it. I was like, wow, not a thing I knew about. So I'm interested in the starter. This is an area where I was reading in this concept that all the bread sort of comes from one starter. Tell me about that concept when you're making artisanal bread. How important is it? And just what's the definition of a starter?
Yeah, so that is, some people get confused about it because people come in and say, I want to have a sourdough like San Francisco, and or they call, you know, there's different terms for it, starter, sourdough. And what it is it's wild yeast. It's basically flour and water that come together and then activate essentially the wild yeast that's on the flour in the air. And what that does is it acts as the leavener for your bread, but it also adds flavor and it helps to, you know, kind of alter the gluten structure as it ferments.
Is it your take on it? I mean, as an artist, I mean, that's where you can put your stamp in a starter that might be different than somebody else's?
I mean, no, I'm not that unique. Yes, mine, you know, it's like, totally, no. If once you've created your starter and if you're maintaining, I mean, the difference can come with when you use it. So it's like basically you feed your starter and then you can wait several hours to use it. And so it becomes like a level of ripeness. So think about it like aging wines, right? Like, or brandies or whatever, whiskey. And so you can consume it while it's really younger and it'll be a little bit sweeter, but still have that sour component. Or you could take it and have it be a lot more sour where it's adding more of that kind of almost acidic flavor, sour flavor. But we're not unique in that, but we do make sure all of our breads are naturally fermented with the starter. We don't ever add any instant yeast to it. Sometimes, you know, if the bread's not rising fast enough, some places will add a little dash of yeast to it to help give it a little oomph. And we don't do that. Sometimes it's, you know, it's like our bread is, you know, we have to take, it's going to take longer for it to ferment. And that's just kind of, you know, what we've signed up for and why our bread, we're so passionate about it. It's like every day, if you came into our bakery, you'd be like, do these people know what they're doing? Because it's like every day we're like, what's the temperature? What's this? You know, how long did you let this sit? What was the water temperature? Like, we're asking these questions and people be like, do they have anything that they do the same every day?
Well, I mean, that's what's great about a bread shop. I mean, I don't necessarily want to walk in and for me to say, I'll have a little bit of Italian, the one with a little cheese on top, Italian, and the other one.
Yeah,
that's how we know bread in this area. But, you know, I want to ask you this because artisanal bread shops, and I would say that, you know, artisanal bread sandwich shops, really, you've seen this almost become a marketing trend where in the last 10 years, 15 years, you've seen places that have been national chains that will put the grains and the bread in their branding and marketing, and they sort of are playing on the idea of this artisanal bread explosion where people want it. How do you as a shop in Evanston differentiate yourself to say, you know, it's not a gimmick, it's not sort of, you know, we're not just sort of riding the tide or the trend that big shops are sort of taken over?
Yeah, I mean, how do we counteract that with market? We don't really have a marketing budget for it, but we, you know, it's, I think when people come in and they see all the loaves that are literally shaped like slightly different, there's no uniformity except for it consistently tasting great. But the look of it is always a little you know, irregular. Right. And some places that we've done some wholesale business with have been like, can you make this a little bit more, you know, perfect? And, you know, like, I think we've gotten used to that, right? Where we want this like artisan product, but at the same point, we want it to look exactly the same because, you know, that's what we're used to. And that's not what we can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like the bake sometimes is a little darker. Sometimes it looks a little lighter. Sometimes our customers are not happy because the bake is a little darker. And, you know, it's literally us hand shaping and hand mixing and then putting it in the oven. We don't have a massive oven. So, you know, sometimes like a deck gets somehow, you know, forgotten for a few extra minutes.
Uh-oh.
And it's a little darker, you know.
Well, I mean, there's something great about it. I mean, just the concept of having a bread shop, it takes you back, especially, you know, when you think about the history of this area and being at one point, as you were saying in the break, along the Chicago River being sort of, you know, all about grain and the grain economy. It's great to have a connection to that. Is that big for you? Is that big to sort of be part of a movement to bring that economy back?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the farmers that have invested, they're the ones, they started this, you know, a few years ago. They're like the heroes. I'm kind of riding on their coattails, just taking their flour and doing hopefully tasty things with it. But I'm totally humbled because honestly, to be a farmer and to, you know, take a risk on growing organic grain and hoping that you're going to make the money in a few years is, for a business, like running a business, I don't know if I would be that courageous as they are to do that. So if I can help promote it, then that's awesome because I really am committed, yeah, to bringing back the local grain economy and supporting these farmers however we can. And, you know, there's actually a society of historians that I just at their conference there, it's the Society of Agricultural Historians. And there's a whole like contingent of professors that teach agricultural history. And it's really amazing when you start learning like how applicable what they learn is applying it in modern day. So I feel like being bridging the gap between a baker and a historian is pretty amazing.
That's great. Ellen King is the head baker and co-owner of Hewn, H-E-W-N, the bread shop in Evanston. She's my guest tonight in Industry Night. Ellen, thanks so much for coming in and talking about the history and sharing how we make bread.
Thanks for having me.